Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming up a bit later on the show, Mike Jones, NFL writer for The Athletic, will join us, as will Chris Russell, host of The Chris Russell Show on Team 980. He'll be on the show at 9:20. But right now, let's head out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We'll say good morning to Grant Paulson from Grant and Danny. You can see them. They're taking the show on the road to Pupitella in Chantilly from 2 until 6:30 p.m. today. Go hang out with the boys. Go get some dinner. Get ready for day two of the NFL draft and game three of Caps Canadiens. What's up, Grant?
What's up, fellas? How are the junks this morning?
We are doing
GP,
well. Good.
GP, when you're at Pupitella, get some meatballs. Their meatballs are spectacular.
Guy, you think I'm not thinking about meatballs for the last 4 days?
Yeah, I'm glad you
He's definitely already pre-planned
it. It's a good one.
Just so much pizza, so much draft talk. Mm-hmm. This is going to be an amazing day.
Now, you're going to be at the Pupitella in
Chantilly.
Nice.
Yeah, that's right. Hanging Perfect. Out with listeners. It's actually, we got the trifecta today, right?
Okay,
because
yep.
You got the NFL draft continuing with the Commanders needing to do some moving and shaking here.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Caps playing game three tonight, looking to go up 3-0 in Montreal. And then Juan Soto's back in town with the Mets.
That's right.
To take on the Nationals. And James Woods, one of the National League leaders with 8 bolts already.
Pretty
so
nice.
Things are looking up.
Very good.
So what was your initial impression last night? I think like most people around here, we are all kind of thinking, well, okay, they're going to probably draft an edge rusher or a corner, maybe an outside shot at, you know, jolting the receiving core or something. I didn't really have tackle on my board, but I get it. And I, for some reason, I have a bizarre trust in this group right now.
So let me ask you guys this real quick before I even answer that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have one guest say Josh Connerly's name to you about the Commanders?
Not that I can recall. No. And I talked about this too, Grant. Like,
yeah.
I was listening to GND driving around, and you guys did the montage of, you know, everybody at the station and people
right.
that covered the team. And I don't think I heard Josh Connerly's name once. Maybe maybe one, but it was like 20 people. And
maybe this is a product of them being 29, Cakesy.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's just never in my lifetime have they not traded back or something and
right.
picked that late. But this has not happened. Danny and I have been doing the show since 14. Obviously, I was on the beat before that, where we talk about the draft ad nauseum, you know, for months, just like, here's what they could do. We do the same things over and over, right? Mm-hmm. His name did not come up as a pick for them one time from anybody.
I don't think it came up on this show either.
It didn't.
Not that I can recall.
Nah.
That's wild. But yeah. Peters operates in the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
The Laremy Tunsil trade came out of nowhere. So I guess to answer your question, Eric, it was not on my radar either. It certainly makes sense, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
And while I would have preferred to go BPA at a bigger position of need, because I actually think you can make the case, not only is tackle not their biggest need, I said last night, I don't think it was a top five need. Now, I think Andrew Wiley is a very average at best right tackle, so you could clearly upgrade from him. But I thought they were going to, because Brandon Coleman, who they drafted in the third round last year and started at left tackle, I thought was going to kick over to the right side. That's what Dan Quinn said. He didn't specify tackle. That was definitely the assumption. Peters made it seem like he'd compete with Wiley. So I thought that competition would elevate that spot. But here's what you do now. in one fell swoop this offseason after finding your franchise quarterback last year. You've got your bookend left tackle and right tackle in Tunsil and Connerly. You've kicked Coleman inside, where he played a lot of guard in college. He could be your left guard of the future. When Cosme comes back, he's your right guard. In the meantime, Wiley played some guard with Kansas City, so he could play there. Could be a backup tackle. So you've really upgraded four spots with two moves, essentially. And I'm just never going to be upset when you take protecting Jaden Daniels very seriously. So it's not a move you can dislike, even if it's unsexy.
Yeah, and Grant, heading into round two, like, if they don't move off the pick at 61, like, I literally have no idea, like, who they're dialing in on. It would be crazy to think, okay, I know what Adam Peters is going to do 30 picks from now. Yeah. Like, I have no idea where they're going to head.
And I said the same
thing. The next pick.
Last year, like, sort of the order and way they picked guys was not intuitive to me. I remember that specifically.
Well, remember last year in the second round, Johnny Newton's name wasn't really on the board either. Yeah, that was a surprise.
It was they picked guys. Like, I don't know the process, but I do. They have earned the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Definitely have. I don't even like admitting this, but I mean, it just is what it is. Like, I have never been less plugged in on their thinking or how they do things in my life. Like, people keep saying, what do you think they're going to do? And for years, I would either, you know, somebody would be not leaking, but giving you an idea of how they're thinking. Mm-hmm. They just don't really do that anymore internally. I mean, they are very comfortable in their own skin operating the way they want to. They're not kind of putting out feelers or getting the word out via the media and floating things as trial balloons up in the air. They just kind of do what they want to do, and you're either on board or you're not. So, yeah, they have one more pick before 128 now in the fourth round at 26th in round four. So you're basically talking about what is essentially a fifth-round pick. I think you've got to do everything you can to move back at that spot just to add more selections. But you're right, Cakes. I mean, they could go – they need weapons, right? So if they only make that pick and do nothing else, you could go running back, you could go wide receiver. They may just say, we don't have a choice but to address the pass rushing need because we can't get enough pass rush with this group at the edge. Mm-hmm. They definitely need cornerback help. It's hilarious because they're in the NFC title game last year, guys, and they do have a lot of needs, which speaks to how dynamic Jaden was to mask a lot of deficiencies.
Yeah, so do you have any sense, like, what, I mean, just any sense of where they might lean, just kind of based on what might be more available now based on how the first round played out?
Right. So their actions tell us, right, because there are no words, as I said, coming out. Their actions were, if you remember, they did try to trade for Trey Hendrickson at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that they know that they need edge help. Trey Hendrickson's also still intriguing to me. I don't know what the latest is with him in Cincinnati, but they did take a starting defensive end.
Yeah, doesn't seem great.
So is that a situation where you pick the phone back up if you're Adam Peters and you say, okay, obviously you guys couldn't get a first-round pick. He's going into what is likely his final year there. Maybe it's 61 and something next year, and you go get a 15-sack defensive end. Is that something he would try to do? If you can't pull off something to get a starting veteran edge, then I think you come back from 61 and you try to have two picks before 128, because then you can address a defensive need and still get one of those weapons. I think they need a running back with speed badly. I really like Bashel Tootin from Virginia Tech, possibly, mm-hmm. In the third round, if they could do that. But I would try to have two picks tonight in rounds two and three. And I feel like if you could do that and hit a couple of the needs now, you've won early on.
Getting back to Connerly for a bit, I mean, we're just seeing clips now of him getting direct snaps and running the ball in. We're seeing clips of him being tackle eligible and catching touchdowns. Like, I mean, Cliff Kingsbury,
he's an athlete, man. Yeah.
He's gonna work some magic with an offensive lineman, I would think.
Uber athletic, right? At the Caps game, game two, Trent Scott was sitting right behind me. He was like their tackle eligible, who's the answer to the greatest trivia question in Commanders history, which is who caught the first ever touchdown pass from Jaden Daniels, because he is the offensive lineman up against the Bengals. But, yeah, you don't think Cliff wants to get in his bag a little bit with an athletic tackle? Have you guys seen this kid Connerly's face, by the way?
Yeah.
He's so young.
I just saw him. Yeah. He looked like he was 15.
I feel 80. He looks nine, this kid.
I know.
It is. I mean, I know I'm now at the age where these guys were like, I was a junior or senior in high school when they were being born. But even by the standard of, like, players are young now, the kid looks 15. Yep. But He moves really, really well. He was actually like fairly decent, I think, like a running back at one point, late high school, transition to the line. He's a monster kid. And he's so young. And the one thing I kept hearing last night when I was just after the pick asking people, because as I said, I just didn't do much research on any of the linemen, was there's so much projectability. Like it, Kiper said on the telecast, and I think this is the consensus thought, whether it's top five, top ten, if he went back to school and came out next year, he would have been the offensive tackle in the top ten that everybody was talking about. So they just pounce a year early and get a guy that they think's a plug-and-play right tackle for years to come.
Yeah, I saw you retweeted Mike Tice, the former Vikings and I believe Jaguars coach, that he was basically saying that he thought Connolly was the best offensive lineman in the draft.
I think it's one of those things where – depending on the scout, if you want to use that word, and in this case, he's the scout. Like, depending on the person that's watching the tape, what are you looking for? And if you like the size and the length and the fluidity and the footwork and someone that, again, is projecting out that athlete, you know, Trent Williams who's going between the legs and dunking in basketball or whatever, then this is the kind of guy that you could sign up for. And obviously Cliff Kingsbury was all in. I'm sure you guys have seen the video that the Commanders put out overnight you talked about. But, you know, Peters – has the sheet that was left on his desk basically straight out of draft day where Vontae Mack, no matter what, right, where he says, I want the left tackle from Oregon. So they went and got the kid. They've got an upgrade not only at right tackle now, but I think it helps them on the interior because I was a little surprised they didn't do more at guard in free agency. But if you look at it, you kind of did because now you've added Brandon Coleman at guard. And if you want to move Wiley to guard, you can do that. Trent Scott's still in the organization who played a bunch of tackle for them.
I think they're kind of loaded, actually, at offensive line.
It's one of their strengths now.
How out there I say that. You know, the other thing I think it's becoming quite obvious is it's important to them to be a bigger, stronger football team. Like, they want to be – they added size. As far as I'm concerned, especially when you think about Kinlaw, and that's all they talked about is how big that guy is. I don't know. That seems to be something that's important to this group.
No, it's a good point, especially up front, right? I mean, Laramie Tunsil is 6'5". Like, he is huge. He's got length. Also, it's interesting to me, and I'll be curious. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I have a great file on Connerly as a player, but Oregon threw the football a ton, right? Laramie Tunsil is a pass protection first offensive lineman. I don't want to call him finesse, but he's not like nasty and dirty. I'll be curious to see Connerly's what the reports are on him in that regard, because I'd imagine they feel really good about him in pass pro. But you need that nasty streak. You need to be able to run the football too. That's certainly not as much of a strength for Tunsil. So that's something I'm a little bit curious about. But he does feel almost Tunsil-esque in that way. It's almost like maybe that's what they're looking at the tackle position.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Yeah, it'll be it'll be interesting to see if they stay at 61 or, like you said, trade out and add a couple pieces. You know, if Luther Burden, if they really like Luther Burden and he slips down to 61, they might jump all over it.
So that's the question, right? Bish is like, if you get one of those guys that falls,
yeah.
Now all of a sudden the trade back, which seems inevitable or almost a necessity. I don't know. Could you guys feel okay if they don't move back, they make another pick, and then they don't pick again until the end of the fourth round? Does that work for you?
I've kind of argued that I'm okay with it. And listen, I'm just a dummy. But they did so much in the offseason via free agency, and we know they're going to sign 25 guys via free agency 10 seconds after the draft anyway. I mean, they're going to have a, you know, and some of those guys are going to make the team. They're going to sign some. So I'm kind of okay with it. I don't know.
I'm just starting to talk myself into the possibility. There's going to be a position group going in that we don't like on paper. But that happened last year, two or three spots, and they got to the NFC title game. So whether, you know, I'd like it to not be edge. I just don't know where the pass rush is coming from. My guess at this point is that they would say they're going to use Frankie Louvu coming downhill off the edge more, who was an outstanding rusher both in Carolina, and we saw it last year. He finished second on the team, narrowly behind Fowler in sacks. But you lost 10-plus from Fowler. He just wasn't as impactful as the sack totals. Like, everything positive, essentially, that he did, other than the pick six at home 1 week, was a sack. The pressures otherwise, the TFLs weren't that high. So I don't think replacing him is going to be as arduous as people think. But you do need someone who can get home, and maybe they're going to plan on, you know, if we see them, say, take a linebacker off ball earlier than we think, maybe whether that's in round three if they trade back or in round two somehow. People go, what the heck was that? Maybe the point is that Louvu stands up off the edge on passing downs, and so he goes and gets you 11 or 12
sacks.
Can I
understand? Yeah. I'm sorry. Maybe I misheard you.
Yeah.
So are you saying, you're saying you hope it's not an edge guy they select?
No. I'm saying I'm talking myself into the possibility that they might just not be able to. I want them to go get an edge. That was my preference,
okay.
Especially when the guys fell into their lap. I'm just saying Louvu is an outstanding pass rusher.
Yeah.
And while we think of him as this off-ball linebacker, maybe that's their plan. I'm trying to figure out, like, where are the sacks coming from?
Mm-hmm.
If I think Dorrance Armstrong is probably, like, more of a 7, 8, 9 sack guy, and, you know, Frankie Louvu could get you 10, 11 in a perfect year coming up, like, is that enough? Like, where else do they come from? And that's kind of my concern at this point.
Are you with me? I'm very heavily leaning towards the Lattimore thing as a disaster.
I'm trying to talk it into him. It's a little too early to give up on Lattimore.
And I think that that's fair. But I do think it's their biggest red flag to date.
Oh, it's by far, as of this moment, their biggest miss.
Yeah.
But I tend to give the benefit of the doubt to the fact that, here is what is a fact, irrefutable. He was hurt when they acquired him.
Mm-hmm.
He was chasing his tail, basically trying to get healthy, and never really looked healthy to me. He didn't run that well, I didn't think, at any point, like turning and running with receivers. And then he's learning a new system and getting acclimated. So those are all excuses for why he played bad. The result was he played really, really bad. Mm-hmm. And they gave up a lot. I mean, you give up that, and then not only does he play that well, but then you double down when you could have gotten out of the contract, which I had no problem with. I would have done the exact same thing. But you need him to be really, really good. So to your point, yeah, if it's a struggle again this year and Lattimore's washed or they just guessed wrong, well, not only is it a big problem and a miss for them, and a rare miss because they haven't missed much, as you said, but now corner is also a bit of a fiasco on paper, right? Because it's Mikey Sanders still and Jonathan Jones and not much else. But I tend to think the truth is in the middle. Like, I think we've seen him play his best football. He's not going to be a Pro Bowler every year or an All-Pro again. But also, I think he's got to be better than last year. I can't imagine we're going to see that again. That was bad.
Grant, we appreciate the time early. People should go out and see Grant and Danny today at Pupitella in Chantilly.
Pupitella, baby.
2 until 6:30. There's a lot of DC sports on deck, as Grant mentioned
Pupitella.
At the top of the interview. Thanks, Grant. We'll talk to you soon, man.
All right. Expect some cold pizza waiting at your desks tomorrow.
Nice. Very good.
Nice. The maybe Valdez pizza. Will grace you with his presence there, and you can use his gift card.
Yes.
Nice. Let's do it.
His VIP card.
Let's make this happen.
Yeah, VIP card. Yeah. Get it right.
Actually.
All right, Grant.
Right.
Good to hear from you.
Thanks, buddy.
Enjoy the draft tonight, guys. See ya.
Yep. Don't forget Mike Jones coming up at 8, Chris Russell at 9:20. When we come back, we're going to try to throw a dart and figure out where Shedeur Sanders is going to land. Will he get picked in round two? We'll try to discuss that next.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.